on January 28th, 2024, the first part of the class, we're going to describe a topic, Understanding Shastra, by reading quotations from a collection of books written and produced by Sri Satyanarayana Das Babaji Maharaj of Jiva Institute in Vrindavan. He describes many different ideas how to understand Shastra. The word Shastra, Shastra in Sanskrit means scriptures, holy books, spiritual books, scriptures, refers to the Vedas, which consists of Samhitas, Brahmanas, Aranyakas, and Upanishads, 18 Puranas, Ramayana, Mahabharata, Vedanta Sutra, and Pancharatras. The Shastras are either the direct words of Bhagavan or words written by sages and acharyas under the direct inspiration of Bhagavan. There you have it, inspiration. Because it is accepted that such sages and acharyas have directly experienced the truth, tattva, by the grace of Krishna. Out of compassion for humanity, they convey through language their realizations of spiritual truth and the process by which others can experience that same spiritual truth. In so doing, each rishi, each saintly person, employs their own style to convey their intentions. That's just a little introduction to Shastra, basically. A little more next page here. Acharyas have enumerated principles to understand the true meaning of Shastra and to harmonize apparent contradictions that arise as one studies Shastra. Vedic tradition recognizes three ways of teaching. What are the three ways of teaching? Yeah, those are ways of learning, but ways of teaching. You can teach like a ruler, a king, a ruler, a king. You can teach like a friend, or you can teach like a lover. Yes. So when a lover speaks to you, he speaks very gently and softly and tries to say a very sweet way, try to change your behavior or whatever, you know, or do something, you know, to teach you. So some shastras, they teach like a ruler. You do this or you get your head cut off. Do this, you go to hell. Follow your cause, you go to hell. Burn for 50 million years now. It's called injunctions. So the Vedas speak in an imperative voice. The Vedas are like a king. They speak like an emperor. They speak the truth and uphold Dharma. Satyam Vad Dharam Chara. Taittiriya Upanishad 1.11. The Vedas do not offer any logical reasons for giving their instructions. One is expected to follow them without question. Is that right? So the Vedas, because there's different literature, there's Vedas, there's Puranas, there's poetry, etc. So the Vedas, like Upanishads, they teach like a king, like an emperor. You do this or get your head cut off. They give laws and injunctions, that's Vedas. Vedic law. One is expected to follow the Vedas without question. Now Puranas, word Puranas, Vishnu Puran, Skanda Puran, Pavana Puran, Bhagavad Puran, they instruct like a friend. Because they tell different stories with morals. What's the moral of the story? You know, of the blue jackal and the lion, you know? What's the story? You can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. Blue jackal, there was a jackal. Jackal is like a wild dog, hyena, jackal. And he was stealing some chickens from a farm. And the farmer was painting his barn blue, dark blue, and the fear to run away from the farmer, the jackal fell in a bucket of blue paint. It's turning all blue. So we're back into the jungle. Everybody said, "Oh, who's this? Who's this? Some avatar, jackal avatar." So everybody was. See, somebody from another planet. So everybody was showing all kinds of awe and respect and reverence and bringing him berries and dead rabbits to eat and stuff. And he was real happy. And he said, "Wow, everybody thinks they start worshiping like the king of the jungle." So then the word got out to the lion that he's the king of the jungle. So he came to pay his respects to the jackal. So everybody's voted for him, he's the king. So even the lion came and paid respect to the jackal. So that went on for 29 days. 29 days, all the animals, tigers, lions, everyone was convinced that this blue jackal was an avatar from the spiritual world. But then, after 29 days, it was full moon. And when the full moon rose in the sky, the jackal saw the full moon. He said, "Oh, oh, 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 o buried. Then he started barking like a he started whining like a jackal. The lion said, this is a cheater. This guy's the fake avatar, bogus avatar. So he ate the jackal. So that's Hita Padesh story, old Indian story. So what's the moral of the story? Be a politician, you'll find out. You fool some of the people some of the time. The moral is you can't cheat your way to success. Your own cheating will get you devoured. So the Brahmins teach like a friend, and they provide reasonable explanations when required. Kavya is poetic literature, offers counsel, offers advice in the way of a lover, speaking sweetly but indirectly. Instructions are expressed in a pleasing way to attract the reader or hearer. The Srimad Bhagavatam uses all three of these methods of teaching. Teach like a king, an emperor, teach like a friend, teach like a lover. So let's see what else we have here. These are different, this is understanding Shastra, during quotation. Another important necessity to understand Shastra is to know the cultural, historical, and social background in which Shastra was written. Shastra was spoken at a particular time to a particular, Haribo, and so on, to a particular audience who could understand the language in which it was composed. Now circumstances have changed. So also we have to consider the specific background of any statement given in Shastra to understand the intention of the speaker. Therefore, to understand Shastra, we have to know the meaning which was intended for a specific word by the author within the context it was spoken. So that means time, place, circumstance, Kala Desha Bhatra. Moreover, one word can have various meanings. And it's also necessary to ascertain which meaning or meanings of a word are intended by the author. That's tricky. It's very tricky. Sanskrit is a very complicated language. And the Shastras are all written in Sanskrit. So that's why I have to go through with a teacher who knows Sanskrit, ideally. This is the best teacher. Because he can understand all the language. If he's been trained by a guru, he understands Tava and philosophy. Nowadays, Shastra is available to everyone. But that doesn't mean that everyone who reads Shastra can understand its true intention. If one does not follow the proper procedure, which entails studying Shastra under a qualified teacher, there's a good chance one will misunderstand Shastra. It goes without saying the improper understanding of Shastra will not give the fruits what the Shastra is supposed to give. Another reason why Shastra is prone to be misunderstood is that it speaks about topics that are not within the experience of the common person. Our experience is, food and eating and sleeping, passing some exams, getting a job, making some money, spending it. Travel, fun, clothes, music. What do we know about transcendental world? Well, Shastra may use words that are common to people, but the particular meaning of the intended Shastra, common people may misunderstand. Because Shastra describes spiritual subjects. For example, there's a word for love in Hindi and Sanskrit, prema. But if someone reads this, some Indian person, when you say prema, Krishna, I have Preeti prema. My girlfriend's name is Preeti. Sneha, my girlfriend's name is Sneha, I have Sneha prema. Okay, that's good. It's good for your girlfriend. Good for you too, I guess. But that's the thing. So what the Shastra means by the word prem, well, you know the meaning of prem is a different thing. Like someone says, the goal of life is Krishna prem. So some girl's reading that book, a book about Krishna bhakti, says the goal is Krishna prem. Means love for Krishna. Well, my boyfriend's name is Sunil. I have Sunil Prem. So I already got the goal of life. So I said, Krishna Prem. His name is Sunil. Sunil Agarwal. So I have love for him. So I already got Prem. I don't need who is this Krishna guy. We say goal of life is Radha Prem. Maybe your girlfriend's name is Radha. I already got Radha Prem. I'm holding her hands right now. So it's just so confusing. What does the Shastra mean by the word Prem? What do you understand it means, Prem? Shastra talks of subjects which are beyond the material creation. This is a nice analogy. He said that the job, the sages and acharyas in writing Shastra is like a music teacher trying to teach music to a deaf person. Person is deaf and dumb, you're trying to teach him music. Sa re ga pa. It's an impossible task, but yet it has to be done. Therefore, Shastra utilizes stories and allegories to convey its ideas. Very, very good points here. One word in Sanskrit can have many meanings depending on the context. For example, in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, verse 8, Krishna used the word Ishvara, which means controller, when he's describing the jiva. The verse about the jiva, he said he controls his own kshetra, his own body. But Krishna himself is also known to be Ishvara. This does not mean that the Jiva and Krishna are equal. If someone say, Gita Krishna says, Jiva is Ishvara, and he's Ishvara, that means I'm Ishvara. Ishvara Aham Hamboki. 16th chapter of Gita. Ishvara Aham Hamboki, I'm Ishvara. So, I'm Ishvara. But this does not mean that Jiva and Krishna are equal. When the word Ishvara is used for Jiva, it means that Jiva, the Jiva, Ishvara is superior to body, mind, and senses. Not that the Jiva is the supreme controller like Krishna. In other words, the word Prabhu, Prabhu means master, is used in some Vaishnava circles as a title of respect for devotees in general. It's funny, because the word Prabhu in Shastra refers to Bhagavan, to God. Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Prabhu, Mahaprabhu. You read Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Chaitanya Bhava says, Prabhukai, 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 in Bengali. It means Mahaprabhu said. It doesn't mean you're the guy, you know, temple commander said. Prabhu said. So the funny thing is, some spiritual missions, they call women Prabhu. That's the funny thing. When I first came to India 36 years ago, so my Indian friends in Delhi, so why when I go to the temple, they call the girls are talking to each other, Prabhu, Radhasi Prabhu. Why are they saying girls are calling other girls Prabhu? I don't know, you better ask them. They should say Didi or sister. Prabhu, Prabhu is masculine for a man, not Radharani Prabhu. Sita Prabhu. Sita Devi, Radharani Devi. Prabhu. Funny thing. Huh? So he says that, he says, that means Bhagavan. And what else we got? That's a good one, Prabhu. I always like that. That's one thing, Indian people like, what is this Prabhu? Don't ask me. I didn't start it. I know about it, but it sounded weird to me. This is more complication than understanding Sanskrit. The prime Lord Chaitanya, when he was speaking to the sannyasis of Varanasi, he said that mukhya vritti, which means the primary meaning of a Sanskrit word, should always be accepted if it suits the context and other elements in the sentence. The second essential principle is that all words and statements of Shastra have an intended meaning. And it's the responsibility of the adherents to Shastra to seek to grasp the intended meaning according to the process of understanding it, which is Shastra itself. This is what the Acharyas of our Sampradaya have taught. In other words, we have to understand what is the Shastra really saying. Don't give a twist to it. Don't give a personal twist to it or interpretation. What is Vyasadeva really saying? What is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu really saying? And that we have to represent and repeat to others. Not give our twist, give our interpretation, our angle, our twist on it. This is an interesting idea about, he gives an example of Sanskrit here, misinterpreting. There's a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhulila, chapter 22, verse 133, Snatan Shiksha, which is also quoted in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, second wave, second division, Samanya Bhakti, verse 238. It talks about living in Vrindavan. It talks about Panchanga Bhakti. Duruha Adbhuta Viryasmin Shraddha Dure Supanchike Yajra Swalpa Bhisambandha Sambandha Sadhyam Bhava Janmane. The power of these five lines of bhakti, what are Panchanga Bhakti? Sarasanga. Hearing Bhagavatam, associating with sadhus,
Madhura Vabhas,
living in Mathura Mandal, Vrindavan,
chanting holy name,
chanting Krishna Nam Sangirtan, Sri Murti Shraddha Seva. Serve the Murti, serve the Tagriti deity with great faith and devotion. These are five. So these have Dura Adbhuta, amazing Adbhut, Dura, very powerful, amazing Virya power. Dura Shraddha, even if faith is far away, even if you don't have faith in them. Svalpa Sambandha, a little relationship. Svalpa means a little relationship with any of these five. What happens? Bhava Janmane. Bhava means Bhava Bhakti, means love of Krishna. Janmane means many things. So the translation is given in the BBT book. It says, even without faith in them, a person can awaken his dormant love for Krishna, simply by being a little connected with him. So a comment by Satyanarayana Das Bhavati. When we study Shastra, we have to make sure we don't give a meaning to a particular statement which contradicts statements or principles given in other parts of Shastra. There should be coherence. That means agreement. One book should agree with the other book if it's talking about the same subject. In translating Sanskrit verses, the use of the word awaken and awakening is misleading. The key phrases to understand here are bhav janmane. Janmane comes from the word, root word means to take birth, to appear, to manifest, to come up, to rise. Therefore, Bhava Jami refers to the manifestation of Bhav. It does not awaken. It does not awaken. If you say it awakens, it means it's sleeping in your heart. You wake up, it means you're already asleep. So to translate it, which is how it's translated in BBT, awakens your dormant love. Love is not dormant in the heart of Jiva. All the books say that. So that conception is wrong, not in agreement with the Shastra. And doesn't wake, translating Jami doesn't mean wake up, means manifest. It appears there, manifests there, from where it comes from outside, from Nitya Siddhas, it comes into our heart. The verse does not say that contact with any of these five, one can awaken his dormant love for Krishna. Rather, the verse says that contact with any of these five limbs of body gives rise to bhava. The phrase bhava jami means the appearance, not the awakening of it. It appears in the heart. Where is it? It appears from where? But the sun doesn't wake up from there. It's already there. It appears to our eyes. This appearance of bhava is not from within one's own heart, but from outside, by the grace of Guru and Krishna. Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. Bhakti Lata Chapter 19, Rupa Shiksha, verse 151. Without Shastra, there is no way to realize Krishna and attain Krishna Prem. Otherwise, what was the need for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to send the Goswamis to Vrindavan and to order them to write and teach Bhakti Shastra? Whatever we know about Krishna Bhakti is based on the Shastras that the Six Goswamis collected, studied, wrote, and taught. So how can an illiterate person by oneself even get an idea of how to perform bhakti? An illiterate person can only have any knowledge about bhakti if they hear from someone who's learned in Shastra. Ultimately, all knowledge of bhakti comes from Shastra, and indeed it's a great fortune and wonder that one can understand bhakti even after studying Shastra. Shudravyenam Veda Nacheva Kashit. Gita 2:29. You know the whole verse?
Ascharyavat Pashyati Kashidenam, Ascharyavat Vadati Daiva Chanyam, Ascharyavat Senamanya Shrunoti, Shudravyenam Veda Nacheva.
Tell me in your own words, what does it mean?
Some people wonder by seeing
how. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that one. Some see the soul is amazing. Some hear about it is amazing.
Some people hear about it.
And some people can't understand anything at all.
After hearing.
Oh, out of body, man. Okay, let's see another book here. So we're close to our Shastra. This is the seventh class understanding Shastra. This will be the last one. Haven't released it yet. They're all with me. All those classes you don't have. I have all those classes. Oh yeah, this one is. Have a video. Here are your secret stash of films. Okay, you got me. You got your spying and everything here. I don't have any secrets. CCC camera in my kitchen. Okay. Nice. This is a little summary of Srimad Bhagavatam. Why is the Srimad Bhagavatam called the essence of all Shastra? That's the question. What's the answer?
It's about bhakti.
Yeah, it's about love. Mm-hmm. Love is the essence of everything. So the Bhagavatam starts off with a group of intelligent people asking questions about life. So the intelligent person is Shonaka Rishi is asking questions to a more intelligent Rishi named Sutta Goswami. So Shonaka made observation in the beginning of Kali Yuga, this is 5,000 years ago. He said, people live very short lives nowadays and are not inclined to undergo any sort of hardship to realize God. And also people are easily disturbed in mind. I'll say. That's a failure. And they're not very intelligent to understand the intricacies of Shastra. So Shonaka Rishi asked Sutta Goswami to give the essence of Shastra for the benefit of all humanity. Shonaka asked two questions. What is the essential duty? There's so many different types of dharma. Kshatriya dharma, Brahman dharma, Vaishya Dharma, Sudra Dharma, Sri Dharma, Putni Dharma, Putti Dharma, this Dharma, that Dharma. There's so many kinds of dharmas, essential duty described in Shastra. What is best for every human being? The essential dharma for every human being. Regardless of varna, ashram, high, low, rich, poor, ugly, beautiful, it doesn't matter. And then he said, and by what engagement is the self naturally and completely fulfilled? The self means Atma. What can I do to be happy? Fully happy. Happy in my heart, happy in my mind, happy in my body, happy in my senses, happy in my dreams, happy in my schemes. having my waking, having my sleeping. What is the essential thing? Then Srila Goswami gives an elaborate reply to this question. And the gist, the summary, the gist of his answer is this. That pure bhakti, pure Krishna bhakti, is the essential message of all shastra, and that pure bhakti alone is the essential meaning prescribed that will completely fulfill the self. So all shastras describe one dharma. The one dharma for all humanity is praying dharma. And to attain praying dharma, attain the full satisfaction that everyone's looking for, one has to engage in bhakti sadhana. Bhakti will produce bhava, and bhava will mature into prema. So this is what the Bhagavatam teaches. Duty and fulfillment. So that's the nice description of the Bhagavatam. I only have two more entries from this description, understanding shastra. This is the seventh part of the class we're giving on understanding shastra by speaking different quotations from the writings of Satyarayana Das Babaji Maharaj, because he explains your understanding of shastra. So he made six recordings. This is the last one, the seventh one. Four or five different books we quoted from. He always talks about this subject of understanding shastra. Because shastras are life, shastras are love. Shastras are a savior. The intention of all Vedas, as well as the Mahabharata, what is the intention of all Vedas and the Mahabharata? Is to reveal Krishna as the Supreme Absolute Truth. And bhakti is the means of attainment. Because what's the essence of Mahabharata? How many verses in Mahabharata? 100,000 shlokas. What's that, a sore hand? Who wrote the Mahabharata?
Ganesh.
Ganapati. Ganapati. Yeah, he has four hands, so it's okay. He's got four arms, so he has eight arms. I don't know what the guy up there has, eight arms or something. Ganapati's up there, he's got eight arms, I think. So he can write a lot. $25,000 each arm, or 15,000 each arm. So 100,000 verses. So what is the essence of Mahabharata? Thank you. Somebody's awake here. Hello, Mahabharata. Bhagavad Gita. 700 shlokas. It took it's really beating around the bush, you know. I had to speak 100,000, I had to speak 99,300 verses, 99,300 verses before I got to the point. I took 99,300 slogans, I finally got to the essence of the whole book, which is Saradharman Pritaja, Mame Kansaramaja, Hamsan Sarapavaya, Mokshaya Srimadaja. Surrender everything, worship Krishna. Go to Vrindavan, worship Krishna. Amazing, huh? So the essence of the Mahabharata is Bhagavad Gita. The essence of Bhagavad Gita is Manmanabhava Madhbhakta, Vajaji Manamaskru. Become Krishna's bhakti and worship him in love. And how do you do that? You do that by bhakti. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnusmaranam. So that's what he wants to say there. The Vedas are exclusively intent upon Bhagavan Vasudeva. Mostly the Vedas describe Bhagavan as Vishnu or Narayana or Vasudeva. Even the Bhagavatam, which we say describes Krishna, there's so many verses that talk about Vasudeva. In the first canto, chapter 2, the famous chapter 2, required for Diksha, chapter 2, verse 28, Vasudeva Praveda, Vasudeva Pramukha, Vasudeva, so it talks about Vasudeva. Vasudev, Vasudev, Vasudev. Vasudev means Krishna. That God is, everyone's residing in that God. Vas means residence, and Dev means Bhagavan. So he's the resting place of all jivas. All jivas end up in Mahavishnu, expand from Mahavishnu. They're eternally part of Mahavishnu, not created, they're eternally existing. Not treva hunter to not shum, not shum to me, Janadipat. Krishna says in Gita, never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you nor all these kings, nor in the future, so none ever ceased to be. Means the jiva is eternal. There's no beginning, no creation. Nitya. So, Krishna says that I am alone to be known by the Vedas. 15th chapter, Gita, 15th verse. Vedas Sarasaram Hamamedi Vedam Vedanta Krishna Veda Vedi Vacham. Krishna says, I am the source of the Vedas. I am to be known by the Vedas. So that's that. There's one more entry I'll read here. It's a little explanation of the Vedas. Vyasadeva divided the one Veda. In the beginning there was one Veda. What was it called? Atharva Veda. Atharva Veda divided into four. The four Vedas are called Shrutis. Atharva Veda, Rig Veda, Sama Veda, Yajur Veda. Right? Then he wrote 18 Puranas as a supplement to the Vedas, so that people could easily grasp the essential meaning. Then he wrote Vedanta Sutra to synthesize the meaning of the Upanishads as a whole. He also wrote Mahabharata, which was meant for those who are ineligible to study the Vedas. It's for Kali Yuga people. It's just simple stories. Intrigue, romance, stealing wives, burning houses, conquering kings, this, that, queens, gambling, all the good stuff, you know. All the good stuff of Kali Yuga. Gambling, drinking, getting drunk, fighting. You know, it's typical stuff on Saturday afternoon. Anywhere in the world. Brisbane, London, Moscow, Bombay, New York. So after he wrote all this stuff, he wasn't satisfied. Something was missing. He met his guru in Narada Muni, and Narada Muni told Vyas, you have not established explicitly, in detail way, bhakti. You taught so many different religious duties and so many types of dharma, but you didn't stress the importance of bhakti. So then he went down and he wrote the Bhagavatam twice. You can read in the first canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 7, about how Vyasadeva wrote the Bhagavatam twice. He wrote it once and he wrote it again. Second time he wrote it, he entered into samadhi. He entered what they call bhakti samadhi. And that bhakti samadhi, he saw Krishna's Leela. He wrote about Krishna's Leela that he heard from different rishis. He wrote about Krishna's Leela in Vishnu Puran, Skanda Puran, Pama Puran. Move this out. Put those on top. He wrote about Krishna's Leela and other Puranas, but he didn't bring out the essence of bhakti. So he wrote Bhagavatam in the same way, Krishna's Leela. But he missed the Braj Bhakti, he missed the Gopi Bhav and the Madhurya Rati. So Vyasadeva says there's something missing. This is love of the Gopis. Gopis are described in Padma Purana. Actually, you would be surprised to know that Asakali Lila Ram Krishna is described in Padma Purana. ancient copies of Bhagavad Gita in Sanskrit, you can find Astika described. So it's a very ancient thing. So he sat down in meditation for a long time, and he had entered Samadhi. In Samadhi, he had darshan Krishna's Leela. Aprakat Leela became Prakat, became visible to him. And then he saw the Leela and he felt the Leela. He felt the heart of Radharani, felt the heart of the gopis. Then he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. Granta Raja Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Mahapuran. So that's why Bhagavatam has all the bhavas and rasas of Krishna revealed in Vrindavan. Only Bhagavatam. Paramo Nirmasaranam Satam. So that's it for understanding Shastra. This is our seventh class, our concluding class.